It's a really weird song. It's really intriguing, you know. It's very dark. You know, dark subject matter is something that is not unusual to Kate. Yeah, not at all. but something, it's really scary, and like, especially the lyrics, like, think of my mother, cry for my brothers. Like, you can tell that she was sort of writing it in her perspective of herself. And I think that subject matter is really interesting and scary, but also the melody is really great. There's something about it that it just captures me. Those intro chords are really sad, but really great.
Welcome to Strange Phenomena, the music of Kate Bush. I am Cecily Link, and this week we're going to be talking about the Kate Bush unreleased song, Kidnapped on a Building Site. Yourself.
I'm Danny Yamas. I work currently at Mute Records. I'm a huge music fan, I guess you can tell. I've been into Kate Bush since about 2010, 2011. I was in high school at the time and, you know, just became instantly obsessed. Yeah, I just, you know, I spend my days reading about Kate. I listen to her albums over and over again. I'm just a huge fan. I also make music myself as Laundry League. So she's clearly a very big inspiration on me for making music and working in music and everything. So yeah, that's it for me.
Cool.
Sorry if that was long-winded.
No, not at all. That's why we like to have people like, because I'm always curious, like, how people have heard of Kate Bush and what else you do. And since, yeah, I've listened to your music. And so you definitely, like,
Thank
plug your stuff at the end of the show.
you.
So,
Well, I didn't come on to plug my stuff.
oh,
I
I
swear,
know.
I'm a huge Kate fan.
I know. But yeah, but also, like, if we get people who do other stuff too, like, hey, you know, shout out about your stuff,
Yeah.
man.
Yeah, for sure. I'd be happy to.
So you say you first heard of her about, so 2010, so about 8 years ago. So
That,
how,
wow.
I know it seems like so long ago though. I'm like, oh my God, really? So how did you come across Kate Bush?
Basically, I got really into this band called Lush, and Emma Anderson, who is one of the main songwriters and the lead guitarist, she had mentioned several times that Kate Bush was a big influence on her, and particularly Lionheart, which I think is important to note because it's such an underrated album. And I mean, obviously, it's one of my favorites. I had heard about Kate sort of through another band, and I was like, you know, I keep hearing this name. I'm going to Google her or whatever. And I came across Wuthering Heights on YouTube. And like, I think the initial reaction by a lot of people is to laugh or to be shocked. And I certainly, yeah, I certainly was a little bit confused. You know, Wuthering Heights is certainly a catchy song, and I was like, the song is catchy, but the voice is a little grating. And it was the white dress version, which I still prefer. I think that that video is just amazing. So 70s. I kind of left it alone and I was like, eh, whatever, not for me. And like 2 weeks later, I could hear it like in the back of my mind, like the chorus to Wuthering Heights kind of going over and over again. I was like, okay, clearly this is stuck in my head. I should listen to it again. And I was like, it's weird, but you know what? I like it. And that was kind of like my mantra in the beginning, because I was embarrassed or something, like that Kate Bush was weird or cheesy or something. But
yeah.
I was like, you know, it's weird, but I like it. It's weird, but I like it. And then eventually I kind of just was like, no, there's obviously something in her music that is clearly resonating with me. I don't think I should be ashamed to like something that I like. And, you know, it started with Wuthering Heights and then went to Babushka and Running Up That Hill, you know, sort of the singles, right? And I think my first Kate Bush album was Never Forever that I bought. And then Director's Cut came out really close to when I discovered her. Clearly, you know, she hadn't released anything since Ariel. It was very exciting to be a Kate Bush fan when she released something again. So I got really into Director's Cut, and that helped me, that helped ease me into, you know, her later stuff. I really like Director's Cut. Some of the songs are a little bit, I don't know, questionable, I think, the production, but I do like it overall, and I'm probably biased because it came out around the time that I really got into her. So deeper understanding, like, I listened to that, the Director's Cut version, a lot. And my art teacher, my sophomore year of high school, was also into Kate Bush. So I mentioned it to him, and he gave me a burn CD of, like, random songs by her. And it included, like, you know, her hits, her singles. But it also included Constellation of the Heart, which I really liked. And I still really like, I really like The Red Shoes as well. And, you know, and Director's Cut. So, yeah, so that was like a really exciting time. And I even wrote like a college essay about it, because I had just broken up with my first boyfriend. He kind of laughed at all the music I liked anyway. And it was, yeah, I know. It was pretty
not a
stupid.
Keeper.
No. It was a mistake. I got into her after I had broken up with him, and I felt really empowered. And like, I remember sitting on the floor of my sister's apartment, listening to Cloud Busting and like crying because it was so moving. You know, obviously I don't resonate with the story of Cloud Busting as much, but you know, I know that something good is gonna happen. Like, that lyric is something that I think about a lot, and I think at the time was something I needed to hear. So, yeah, and then, you know, I've since listened to her on and off and kind of gone through these waves, and recently I've gone through another big life change, and I found myself coming back to her music. So it's really interesting to see how her music has been there when I needed it, you know. And it's really empowering, and it really helps. Yeah, that kind of catches up to modern day, I guess, from 2011. But yeah, I basically got into Kate Bush through another band, and, you know, it really clicked with me after a while, and really inspired me to make music even more so than I had already been inspired. So it was great. It's great now.
Yeah, she's inspired me a lot as well. I mean, because, well, you and I have talked since you do music, and so I'd mentioned to you that I do music too. And
yes, yeah.
She inspires me to do my own thing and to not worry as much about what other people think. Just keep doing your thing. And if people think you're weird, whatever. Like,
there are going to be people that resonate with your music and like your music either way. So just do it. Do what you want, you know?
Exactly. So why Kid kidnapped on a building site. So what is it about the song? Because I have my thoughts on the song, but you said this was one of your favorites. So why is this one of your favorites?
It's a really weird song. It's really intriguing, you know. It's very dark. You know, dark subject matter is something that is not unusual to Kate. Yeah, not at all. but something, it's really scary. And like, especially the lyrics, like, think of my mother, cry for my brothers. Like, you can tell that she was sort of writing it in her perspective of herself. And I think that subject matter is really interesting and scary, but also the melody is really great. There's something about it that it just captures me. Those intro chords are really sad, but really great. I don't know. And I think the song structure is really interesting. No one has confirmed really when the demo was from, but it does sort of sound like could be from around Lionheart, around Never Forever. Mm-hmm. I don't think past Never Forever, because there was a huge shift, obviously, in the music that she was making.
Yeah.
So, but I, like, those three albums for me, Lionheart, Never Forever, The Dreaming, have been really important for me. And I think I just really like that sort of era, especially between Lionheart and Never Forever. And I think that the demo is very much in that style that she was writing. It's just, it's sort of an odd tune.
It really is. And I totally see what you mean about it being dark subject matter. Because, like, what I could discern of the lyrics, it sounds like somebody, like, it's kind of has this feel of somebody being tied up to a chair. They don't know where they are. Maybe they got punched in the head, or somebody put a tissue of some sort of gas to make them sleep, and they've woken up in this place. They have no idea where they are, and they're trying to get out.
Yeah, it's really scary. You know, I've been shouting for hours. You know, I'm banging on the ceiling. My body is bleeding. Like, It's really scary. And I think to put yourself in that position, like imagining being kidnapped and like being stuck somewhere where you don't know and being scared of whether or not you'll die, is really frightening. And I think that she does that. She writes it well, you know, as she does with a lot of her darker songs.
And yet it sounds really kind of happy.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit. It's just like, because she's still kind of singing in that high voice. Yeah, I was trying to look up info about this song as well. Like, when was this recorded? Or even how it leaked, because it's not even something that she completely finished. It's more of like, okay, I'm going to sit here at the piano in the studio and record this thing, and we'll see if we do anything with it.
Yeah.
And that's like anybody knows of it.
Most Kate Bush demos past the beginning, you know, pre-career ones, it's really intriguing how they leaked, because, you know, I know that she worked in a kind of home studio when she lived in that apartment that she lived in during Never Forever and The Dreaming. So it was clearly a personal demo. You know, who else would have this? Who would put it on the internet? And the fact that there is so little information compared to, you know, the Phoenix demos or the ones in Air Studios that are clearly from a certain era, or, you know, demos of The Dreaming that you can tell that they turn into these songs. This is just sort of a weird anomaly.
Really, it is.
Yeah, and it's amazing.
And honestly, like, you can really only kind of get out of the lyrics what you can, because there are parts where it's kind of muffled. Maybe she was a little uncertain what word was supposed to be sung there or something like that. You get the sense that this was just recorded, like, her, like, she's got a rough idea for a song. She's going to record it to get a decent sounding version and not just hold up a tape recorder. Or something like that.
Yeah. It's just a very bare bones piano demo, her singing with the piano with some backing vocals, which is interesting that there were overdubs, but clearly not The Dreaming, because of the lack of the drum machine and because of the style. So I think it was definitely before Never Forever. probably around that time, maybe even after, but not very long after, if that makes sense.
Because there's a quality in her voice that's similar to the Babushka demos, which seem to have been recorded in like late 79, probably after the tour.
Yes.
And she kind of decompressed, like, okay, I'm done doing the promotion thing, done being the little celebrity girl. I got to hole up for a few months and write some new stuff. And this probably came out of that batch, because it's still that kind of girlish voice that she had in her early years that I really like, because it's so, just so pretty and very distinctive. Not that she wasn't distinctive later, but this, I like it when she's saying hi. That's just me.
She could be rapping and I'd be fine with that. I love her high distinctive voice, because it is very, you know, distinctive, but it's very ethereal and has a very stark quality to it that you don't really hear. You know, it's hard to replicate the specific quality to that voice. But I also really like when she sings lower, because it's still Kate. I'm not really explaining this well. I'm just saying, I really like how she sings either way. I think my favorite sort of era is probably, in terms of singing, like, definitely Never Forever, The Dreaming, because she still has that high quality, but she's experimenting a little bit. Even in Never Forever, you know, she's screaming a bit more. She, you know, in violin, she's, like, actually really getting out there. And I think it's really interesting when she stretches her voice to her limits, whether it be high or low, you know.
Very much.
Yeah.
Or like the long, long note that she does at the end of Blow Away.
Yeah.
The kind of high belt that she does. I think it's a high E flat. And she just lets it out. And it's just like, woo, where'd that come from, man?
It gives me goosebumps. It's such a good note, you know. She just hits it so clearly, and like with the backing vocals kind of going over it, and like, so beautiful. I love that song.
Yeah, and I like in this song, she does a lot of high notes. Like, I like it when she does, you know, this is an unknown address in a rescue, I think it's rescued party, it's in a rescue party, and she does this little yelpy thing. She does so many of those in her early stuff, and I like that. It's like, oh, she's a little yuppie. Bing!
Yeah, and wow, you know. You know, that sort of really high, which is, very distinctive in her early stuff. But she also has that low voice you know, like, this is an unknown address. Like, she's really having that drama where she's, like, pushing the limits, you know, because she also has that in the, like, refrain that's really high. That kind of reminds me of the backing vocals that she does sort of in Full House that are really high, you know, and, like, All We Ever Look For.
So I think
incredibly high. So I think she definitely has that sort of low but really high. And I like the fact that she has that full range. But yeah, you can definitely tell that it's a little earlier because it is generally just higher pitched, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, really interesting, you know. And even for a scrapped demo, like, the vocal delivery is ever interesting.
It's indeed a, it's an odd little song, but odd, not an, oh my God, it's weird. It's just, it's Kate. It's a Kate kind of song.
Yeah. Yeah. You can hear the gears turning a little bit, so to say, you know, and I think it's just, if it had lyrics sort of like, you know, a love song, you know, something pointing more towards her earlier stuff, like Passing Through Air, that is kind of like a nice, sweet love song, it would be like, okay, you know, that makes sense. But the fact that it's so dark and scary, and just complex and interesting, like the call and response, like scissors on a table, too far away. Am I ready? Am I able? We couldn't say. Like, that kind of like evil voice lurking. It's interesting to see how she embodies these two characters, kind of talking to each other.
Yeah, I feel like that, like the high part with the scissors on the table is like her like looking around to see what's there, and then the too far away, it's like her thoughts.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Or the person who kidnapped her.
Very true.
Which I kind of always thought of it as that, like someone lurking in the corner, like watching her struggle, like, ha, no way, you know? Not gonna happen.
Yeah. I mean, and it sounds like too, like this is like they're in a war-torn area. Like I can and I can hear engines in the distance, and I know that we're in tough land.
Yeah, so whatever she says there. When I heard it, like, again, for this podcast, I thought she said Dublin. I'm like, is Dublin that tough?
I mean, I know there are probably some bad areas of the city, but that's bad areas anywhere.
I've heard Dublin is pretty nice, actually. but, yeah, I think she's probably saying tough land. Who knows?
Yeah.
She certainly won't tell us.
I mean, yeah, she's never said anything about this song. She's like, fuck you, I don't know what this is. The existence of this song, what, huh?
Yeah, she's pretty self-critical, you know. I think in some ways, at least. Like, she's very private and self-critical, like any artist would be. Mm-hmm. You know, like, in interviews, she says, it's hard for me to listen to my own voice. Or in the earlier interview where they play a snippet of the song Maybe, and she's like, I can't listen to it, you know, like, I'm sure even if someone asked her about it, she'd be like, no, I don't want to talk about this, because it wasn't supposed to be heard by us. We are just very lucky that someone decided to rip it and put it on the internet.
Yeah, especially this, like, I want to know who leaked this. How did it come out or what? It just kind of, like, poof, appeared.
Right. And like on YouTube, kind of like, you know, you might be able to find a link somewhere on a Kate Bush fan site, but I do wonder about the origins. Like, where did this first appear? When did people start listening to this first to kind of, you know, follow a paper trail in a way? But I don't think that would last very long.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. Yeah, I can't imagine that person would want to out themselves either. Might get in trouble.
Maybe it's the same person who leaked the original demo that she sent to Prince for Why Should I Love You?
You know, that's very possible. Could be an engineer, someone that she was working with that she was like, you know, what could we do with this demo? Mm-hmm. And they just decided to put it on the internet. I do know the Prince one was leaked because there was a little bit of liaising between this engineer because, you know, working with Prince. So, but it is interesting because this isn't a collaboration and it's fairly early. So someone who engineered Never Forever, or maybe it was John Kelly who co-produced. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. We will never know. Speculation.
It's all speculation.
And in a way, like looking over these lyrics with the somebody trying to escape almost makes me think that maybe Kate wrote this as like, hey, I'm trying to do more of my own thing and like escape from this image everybody has of me, like, oh, the twee Wuthering Heights girl, and I'm trying to get away from that. Maybe she was feeling, because since Kate does have a tendency to, which I think is awesome, to take like an idea or a feeling that she has and embody it through a character.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, she does that so well. She tells, she's very good at storytelling, which is why this song is so enrapturing, is because, you know, it has elements to it that's like, it keeps you on the edge of your seat in a way, like kind of going through the motions. Like, I don't remember how I got here. I'm going to try and reach for the scissors. I'm trying to get away. And then like, she kind of goes into the refrain with like the main, those like beginning chords, you know, it very much follows that kind of storyline a little bit like Babushka, where it has a very clear beginning, middle, end sort of way. So yeah, I don't know. And, you know, it's very possible also that she just literally wanted to write about a scary kidnapping.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
You know.
I mean, Get Out of My House was inspired by The Shining. She likes horror movies.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. I remember reading an interview, because I'm writing kind of an in-depth look into the dreaming. And there was an interview where someone was asking about There Goes a Tenor. And they're like, you know, does this represent you trying to get away with something? And she's like, no, I just wanted to write about a robbery going wrong.
Yeah, so, I've read that interview too. And I'm just like, dude, I know I read into stuff, but really?
I know, yeah. Like, but that's the thing, is that she's so interested in telling these stories, and she's so good at embodying these characters, even multiple voices in one song. And I think that this definitely has like the beginnings, like the inkling of how she kind of personifies herself on the dreaming, having all these different voices manipulated in different ways. And like, she always kind of had that. It just, you can tell, because it's like the rising action from Never Forever, you know, she starts to get into that more. I think that's really, really cool.
Mm-hmm. And it's just a technique that honestly not a lot of artists really do. And admittedly, it is a tricky thing to write a song that has multiple voices. Like, how do you do that without making it into a duet? Well, Kate does it.
Yeah. And she's so good at doing all these different voices, you know. It's awesome, you know.
Indeed. Well, Let's see. Do we have anything else to say about this little song? I mean, there's honestly not a whole lot about it.
I think what we've been talking about is the fact that there's not a lot about it.
Yeah. We're squeezing just like a 30-minute episode out of like a 2-minute song.
Well, hey, Kate's just that good, you know?
That she is.
But that's the thing, is that that's what's so interesting about it. There are not many mysteries with Kate, you know, like this, in this way, I should say. You know, having these, like, straggler songs that you don't really know where they came from and what they're about, because she has such a restrained image, she has a very tightly controlled image that she mm-hmm. has maintained for such a long time, that when these things do appear, it's a pretty big deal, because we get more of an insight. I know that to look behind the scenes with songs mm-hmm. and like listen to demos and listen how things are different and kind of flesh themselves out, and having an insight into Kate's process, even if it's for a song that we've never heard before, which is another plus, is pretty freaking cool.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just because of how private she is and how tightly controlled that her image and her process was for such a long time.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm with you. I mean, part of why I want to do this podcast is like look at like going in depth with each song and finding little demos, and certainly with my other favorite artists, if a demo of a song leaks to YouTube, you better believe I'm like getting on there like, yep, I need to add this to my collection, because I love hearing how songs evolve. You know, I knowing that songs didn't just come out of the ether, like there was work. It started here, and then, well, you can imagine like between this demo version and the finished version from the album that we changed a couple things, like with Babushka, like she tweaked a couple of lines, or she tweaked a little bit of her background vocals or something. And
yeah, right, like the lyrics always change, and obviously the production tends to be very different. Mm-hmm. Because you know, going from a home studio to a bona fide recording studio, it changes, and hearing how the arrangements kind of flesh out, it's super interesting. And yeah, this song sort of stands on its own because this is the only version that exists and probably has ever existed. Mm-hmm. Though I don't know, maybe there was a studio version. I doubt it, but who knows? It might turn up one day.
Maybe it will. It'll turn up with the title track to Never Forever that was recorded and never released.
Yeah. Oh, so many songs out there that we'll never hear. It's pretty ridiculous.
Indeed.
It's interesting to think about, because you know, it's like maybe there I'll have a new favorite Kate Bush song that, you know, maybe my new favorite Kate Bush song is a demo that we've never heard before. It's crazy. It's wild. It's just something I can think about for days, like all this unreleased music. So that's why this glimpse, you know, kind of peeking behind the curtain is so important, I think.
And now you actually sampled the opening, speaking of the piano chords, you actually sampled the piano chords for one of your songs.
I did, yes. This was back in high school, 2012. Yeah, I sampled it because those chords are my favorite part of the song, because they're just so striking and they really set the mood. It's just, and they're so beautiful together, you know? Mm-hmm. And I felt a little bit more, for some reason, felt a little bit more comfortable sampling something that wasn't officially released, you know, just in case I got caught.
Mm-hmm.
But also because those chords were really easy to build upon, because they're so stark, you know, so it made for an easy bass, because there is no drum in the background, there's no vocals, and because they're so beautiful. Of course, the song that I sampled did not do any justice. Doesn't compare to Kate in any way. I still think the original is much better, but I definitely took a lot of inspiration from that, you know, directly with sampling and indirectly just through her inspiring me to write music.
And speaking of music, here is now a clip of the very song that we have been talking about, which Danny sampled the opening chords for Kidnapped on a Building Site. This is her song Harrow Step, and it is available on her album Growing Up, which you can get on her Bandcamp page, Danny, that's D-A-N-I, laundry.bandcamp.com/track/Harrow Step. I'm also going to include a link to this in our show notes so you can click on it directly. But here's a clip of Harrow Step, which samples the opening chords of Kidnapped on a Building Site. Enjoy! Much for being on the show today and talking about this obscure little gem.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me. I'm always happy to talk about Kate.
Indeed. And now where can people find you on Twitter and all that other stuff if they agree with what you have to say?
Well, my Twitter is Danny, D-A-N-I, laundry, like dirty laundry. And that's also my handle on Instagram if you want to see pictures I post, but my Twitter is definitely a little bit more interesting.
Cool. And I can attest to that, listener. She's got a cool stream. I follow it, of course.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Yep, thank you so much for having me.
Of course, anytime. If you have a favorite Kate Bush song or several songs that you would love to talk about for future episodes, or if you know something about this week's song that we didn't get to, here's where you can contact me. You can contact me through my website, kbcast.linkmedia.com. That's link with an E. You can email me, kbcast@linkmedia.com. Again, link with an E. You can find me on Twitter at StrangeKateCast and also on Facebook, facebook.com/KateBushPodcast. Join us for the collaborations section of the season. We're getting almost to the end of this third season. Can't believe it. And for the next couple weeks, we're going to be talking about the various songs that Kate Bush sang with Peter Gabriel on for his third album, Melt, which came out around the same time as Never Forever. And next week's song, we're starting with I Don't Remember, and you'll get to hear for the next few weeks from my husband, who is the resident Peter Gabriel fan. See everybody next week.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.